everyone. Once again, I'm your host, Sean Perry. She is 5'2". That's the truth. She weighs 115 pounds. That's not the truth. She dresses like she's funky, does what's not expected. She pushes the envelope of what's customary, surprise, delight, entertain, and connect. She's an aging baby boomer, wife, mother, and grandma, who has written a slice of life column for 33 years, puts out a weekly newsletter, encourages all to preserve their bloom, encourages or entertains audiences throughout the United States on all topics related to midlife and baby boomers, including tattoos, though she graciously declines the opportunity to get one. She entered the social media age kicking and screaming in order to motivate, inform, entertain, and educate, foster communication, and offer tidbits of authenticity for herself and others. While doing so, she tries not to be judgmental, cloying, or hypocritical, whiny, clingy, and snippy. Sometimes she even manages to carry it off. With us now is our new friend to the Senior Zone, author and speaker, Iris Ruth Pastor. Good morning, Iris.
Good morning, Sean. Hope your morning's going well.
I got a big smile on my face. I am enjoying July 1st. It has just begun, and I'm going to make it an intentionally blessed day here. I don't know about you, but it's going to be a blessed day for Sean Perry.
It's going to be one for Iris Ruth Pastor also.
Well, that's
we are on the same page.
Well, that is a good thing. I enjoyed reading your bio there. I haven't had one written like that and presented to me, I believe, ever here on the Senior Zone. So I enjoyed that one there. So preserving your bloom. I came across you, Iris, when I saw I guess it was a newsletter that you had sent out, inching towards 70, and you had these life wisdoms, if you will, about the things, you know, that are still under construction in one's life. And I just said, I got to have her on my show. And you responded on short notice. So for starters, I want to thank you for coming in on short notice here to the Senior Zone. We're going to have you back, no doubt, there. But let's talk about that newsletter that you wrote, Inching Towards. Said, where did it come from? Give me the why.
Well, I think my basic template for living is preserving your bloom. And what I mean by that is using your talents and resources to be the best you can be. And that is not implying being perfect, because my family will tell you I am far from perfect. But I think as you inch towards 70, what you start to realize is that your family, your friends, the community that you know, love you in spite of your imperfections, not because you are perfect. And that's very freeing. When you get rid of this mindset that you need to be perfect, you can try new things without fear. If you have a roadblock or a challenge, you're more apt to try to overcome it, because you realize that you don't always have to succeed. And many times you learn a lot more from failure or frustration than from success, especially easy success. And I'm sure you can relate to that in your own life, as we all can.
We all can. You know, I've always contended that perfection, you know, it holds us back. It really sets us up for failure if you're striving for perfection, because you don't know that until you get some years under your belt. You will never get to this. It's a goal. It's an unattainable goal, right? Perfection.
It's
striving for excellence, right? You know, I get that. But
yes,
perfection,
that's different.
You're just
yes.
not going to get, because you'll never be satisfied. It's in our human DNA not to be satisfied. And so, but I want you to go down your list and talk about some of the things as you inch towards 70. I see you have, you know, to ask and to ponder and to, you know, tip generously. Share more about that list that you have.
Well, I think to ask and to ponder, first of all, there's a couple of things. There's finding out other people's stories, taking the time to listen to other people's stories. That's one thing that's very important, and telling your own story. So, for instance, what I've done research on is that when a child or a grandchild views a grandparent or a parent, many times they see the fruits of their labor, but they don't see the challenges and the frustrations and the struggles that went before. So I think it's very important to tell stories and to listen to stories. And my father was a ball turret gunner, in World War II, and he had, prior to that, a really tough upbringing. And we would have never understood that had he not written down his story and talked about his experiences. And when we learned about the things that had impacted him in life, we could appreciate where he was. And I think that so it things become more relevant. And that's, I think, especially important today when so many people's children and or grandchildren are pushed to the limit to, you know, excel. And then they get anxious and they get depressed. And I think it's taking time out to share your wisdom. And if you don't feel that anyone else has the time to listen, then write it down. Or record it. In some way, make note of it. So I think that's one thing that's quite important. The other thing about taking time is that, you know, the one thing that we never finish, I feel, is our to-do list. There are always more things to do and more things to do, especially with the technological age. One of my sons was over the other day, and I was watching something on my iPad, and he said to me, like, Mom, you could watch it on television. I said, no, I can't figure out the television. Netflix freezes whenever it goes on. He said, okay, so you have three televisions in your house, and you're watching it on your iPad. And I said, yeah, I am. And so I think, you know, we become overwhelmed with the minutiae of every day. And I think it's important, especially as we age, like what you said at the beginning of the show about this is going to be a happy day. Well, you're making it a happy day. You're making it a happy day in spite of some things that may happen that may go wrong. I mean, you may have a runaway guest that says very inappropriate things, and you'll still have to make it a happy day. So I think it's a mindset, and I think that we have to cultivate it.
It absolutely is a mindset. And if I did have that runaway guest, Iris, while I may have naturally some sort of, you know, negative energy, negative feelings or whatever, I'm still not going to allow it to rob me of my joy. And my wife will always, you know, she'll tell you that I protect my joy at all costs. You follow me? Because I have to be in a position of happiness, and therefore, in my mind, my thinking, if I'm in that sort of state of being, then those around me can feed off of that energy as well. And so I protect my joy, you know, as best as I possibly can. I'm human as well, so I hurt and bleed and cry and get upset just like everybody else does. But as I'm able to remind myself, you know, to be happy and to protect my joy, I execute as often as I can and remind myself there. But I want to talk about you and not me. And this list that you have, I mean, on your list you talk about hugs and travel and finding opportunities to say I love you and pushing past your fears and things like that. Those are the sort of things I want our listeners to know, because Iris, there, and you know this down in Tampa, there are folks that are just isolated and they grow older and they grow grouchier and just mean-spirited. And it doesn't have to be that way, but I think isolation plays a significant part of that. But if they heard your list, I think your list can change lives.
Well, I think one of the things is adaptability. And I think, and I can give you an example of this. My mother lost her hearing, and because of certain factors, it just couldn't be repaired with hearing aids. And she became very depressed and very angry about it and did not have the tools to adapt and do other things, because she also painted, which she could have done without her hearing. But she was so angry about that she couldn't get past it. So I think some of it is adaptability. It's, you know, what's your new reality? If you can't walk without a walker, getting a walker. But I think this whole thing with connectivity is sometimes underrated. And I read this article that really highlighted that. And it was talking about not just the importance of an inner circle of people, but like an outer circle of people, so that when you go to the drugstore to pick up your your medicine, or you go to the doctor, if the receptionist knows you, or, you know, if the guy at the barber shop knows your name, like the whole theory of cheers, it builds a sense of connectivity and belonging. And I think that's so important, and that reduces the isolation. So I think embracing those opportunities when they come, which some people don't naturally do. But I think when you raise the awareness of the importance of these things, I think then people will look for them. So that's one of the things that I try and stress. The other thing is, I think a lot of times as we get older, we have a fear of trying something new because we're either going to look silly or we're going to be the worst one in the class. And I'll give you an example of this. I had my children very generously for my birthday bought me a bike. And I hadn't been on a bike since I was like 15 or 16. And I got on the bike in the parking lot of the bike store, and I actually rode it. And it was like, wow, this is fabulous. But I realized I had never used hand brakes, and that was going to take some adjusting. And I mastered that. And then I started riding on the sidewalk, and I couldn't maneuver around people. I just did not have a good sense of balance. And the bike sat for a year, and I never used it because something in me said, this is not good for you, and it's not good for other people. So I said to my husband jokingly one day, you know, I should get training wheels. And just, you know, so that would make me have better balance on my bike. So he goes to the bike store, and the guy says to him, that's not really an option, but we will give you a full refund on the bike if you buy a tricycle. So I bought an adult tricycle, and that is what I ride every single day. And it has this really big front wheel and two really big back wheels, and it's exactly the same as riding a normal two-wheeler, but you don't have to balance it in the same way. And that to me is an example of adaptability, that if you can't do something, find either another way to do it or find something else that's just as pleasurable.
I could not agree more there. You have to. If not, then life will just pass you by. And speaking of that, you have on your list here, item 47 on your list of 70, banish coping, live to soar. That stands out to me because too often, and I lived my life, you know, to this, you know, this way as well for quite some time. You know, when you cope, you're just getting by. You're just surviving.
Yeah.
You're living a satisfactory sort of, you know, a life mindset, but you're not soaring. You're like a scaredy squirrel. It's a book I used to read to my daughter, Scaredy Squirrel. And the squirrel was just too scared to jump out of its nest, despite all the benefits that were down on the ground for it to gain, until it was, you know, it had no choice. And once it realized it had no choice and it jumped out, it was like, as it was soaring, it was like, wow, this is a different mindset. And it benefited from taking that leap of faith. But if you decide just to have a life of just coping and getting by, it just seems like a waste to me. And that's just my opinion, not being judgmental there at all, but it just seems like that. And I want our older adults, and I mentioned this yesterday at an event, you know, you can still soar. If God has given you your mind and you can still dream, then you can still fulfill those dreams. And that's what I want this message, this conversation to really be about, you know, preserving our bloom, but and soaring at the same time.
Well, in order to do that, you have to do a little homework and preparation. It just doesn't come naturally. And I think one of the things that you need to do is learn how to deal with loss. And everybody experiences some type of loss. And if you don't know how to move on from it, you become kind of mired in that coping, slugging along mindset. So I think one of the things that I learned later in life, because I think I did mention this to you prior to this conversation, that I had had an eating disorder for many, many years, and it was bulimia. And so what I was doing is I was coping, but I was coping by binging and purging. And I really, it just took the edge off of things, and it didn't let me soar. It didn't allow me to kind of cast off my baggage and go forward with a very lighthearted and light step. And so one of the things I learned is that not only do you have to deal with loss, but you have to deal with your emotions. So instead of just like pushing your emotions, like your resentment or your anger or your frustrations, instead of just pushing them down, you need to recognize them and you need to let them wash over you. And sometimes people feel like, well, if I open Pandora's box, there'll be no end to my anger. But that's not really true. once you start working through it, there is an end to it, because you become more aware of when you're feeling anger, and so then you can deal with it. And one of the things I learned is that many times we don't recognize our negative emotions. And one of the ways we can recognize our emotions is by a physical manifestation. So in other words, if you're getting a stomach ache regularly, or a headache, or you have high blood pressure, or your shoulders are extremely tight, or you're clenching your jaw, those are all signs that something's going on emotionally. So I think before we can soar, we have to welcome our emotions, both negatively and positively. And I think another thing, and this has been overstated many times, but it's worth repeating again, is the whole thing of gratitude. Because what, I don't know, have you ever heard of the book Simple Abundance?
I don't believe so. Go ahead.
Okay, it came out years ago, and it was like this day book, okay, where every day you would read a different thing that would be, you know, inspiring. And one of the things, and I bought the book, and one of the things said, you should, at the end of the day, say to yourself, before you go to bed, speak three things you're grateful for. And I turned to my husband and said, this is like the tritest thing I've ever heard. I cannot believe I spent money on this book. This is like obnoxious, okay? So anyway, but I started to do it. And what I realized was how utterly on point this woman was. Because when you start looking for three things a day to be grateful for, you stop concentrating on your disappointments and woes, and you're looking for things that are blessed about your day, and you're letting the other stuff go because that's on your to-do list. You've got to find three things that make you happy and grateful every day. And it couldn't be, you know, my husband, my wife, my children, my health. It had to be something specific. You know, a daisy came up in the yard. A bluebird landed on the tree. The woman at the dry cleaner told me that my hair looked nice. You know, things specific, not generalities. And so I think that, you know, changing our mindset is very important as we inch towards 70, which I am now well past.
I don't believe that from what I've seen and the energy that you have, but you're absolutely right. You know, you have to have an attitude of gratitude. And I believe it's as you just said, you know, it becomes contagious because you start seeking it out and you're noticing it more and more. And as you're doing that, I mean, you can't have, you know, one foot on the gratitude, you know, side of life, and then another foot, you know, just the opposite. It doesn't work that way. It can't work that way. It's gonna, you know, cancel out one another. And so, but as you start, you know, adopting an attitude of gratitude, life just becomes a lot clearer, a lot better, a lot more joyful to journey through. And so I applaud you there. But I want to give you a moment to talk about your book. We only have about 3 minutes, and you have a book out right now. It's called The Secret Life of a Weight-Obsessed Woman. Share to our listeners what the book is about and where they can get their hands on your book.
Okay, first of all, you can buy it anywhere. So you can buy it through Amazon. You can order it through a bookstore if it's not on the shelves. Or you can request it at the library. If they don't carry it, they can get it for you. What my book is about is, as I said, I had an eating disorder for 46 years, from the time I was 18 until I was 64, and that was my coping mechanism. And what the book basically about is my journey towards soaring and getting away from just, you know, slugging it through, like we just said, coping. And basically what it says is that if you're not using your talents and resources, you know, if you're not preserving your bloom, you're not living fully. And so if you gamble, or you cut yourself, or you drink to excess, or you spend too much money, I mean, whatever your addiction or your challenge is to living life fully, this book is about my journey, but it can be anybody's journey, because we all have things that hold us back from being the best that we can be. And so what I decided to do is write, because I'm a writer, is write my journey of recovery. And one of the most important facets that I learned is you cannot do it alone. Because I tried for 46 years. Every morning I got up and said, okay, this is the day. I'm not going to binge and I'm not going to purge. And that night, what happened? I did it again. And so you get down this rabbit hole and you can't pull yourself out. So the book is about finding the courage to go for help and then implementing very slowly, and the operative word is slowly, implementing change so that it's sustainable so that you can turn your life around.
Good information there. And the book, again, is called, just dropped my paper here. The book is called The Secret Life of a Weight-Obsessed Woman by Iris Ruth Pastor. Again, that's The Secret Life of a Weight-Obsessed Woman by Iris Ruth Pastor. It can be found on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, online, everywhere. And so I want to thank you again, Ruth, for coming on to the Senior Zone. You came on very short notice here, and that's unusual for me because I'm so planned out. But I want to thank you for helping us out here. I want you to come back. We can have more time to digest this list. And we just scratched the surface of this list here, and I really want to talk about that in more detail there. But in the meantime, any last remarks before I have to let you go? I have about 30 seconds.
No, I think you have been an extremely well-prepared host. I certainly appreciate that because, believe me, that doesn't always happen. And when you do your homework and you're prepared, it really makes a difference. And it's so much easier to be a guest on someone's show that does that. So I just want you to know I so appreciate that.
Well, thank you for stroking my ego and making me feel good. I already felt good. I told you I was going to have a blessed day today, didn't I?
Yes, you did. It happened.
Well, thank you so very much. And I'll be in touch with you.
Okay, thank you, Sean. Happy 4th of July.
Same to you, Iris. Take care. All right, that was a good one, folks. Hey, this